The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
All are welcome here. You're listening to UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world.
Move through blocks and fulfill your passion and purpose. This is Stop Stopping Yourself with your host, Vincent Jenna.
Welcome, everybody. And yes, this is your host, Vincent Jenna, and I am coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. This is the Stop Stopping Yourself show, and I named it that because we get in our own way all the time. And caller after caller after caller and reading after reading after reading, I keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again. So that's why I created this show, to help you get out of your way, to even explain why you get in your way. Which I'm excited to say is all written perfectly and clearly in my new book, The Secret That's Holding You Back. You can go to Amazon and pre-order it today. It's going to be released June 21st, but I'm very excited about it because it has such detailed information in it. We talk a lot about it here, but it's so clear in the book. And if you do go to get it, do me a big favor so it gets out there further. Well, you can't review it. That's right. You can't review it because you haven't read it. So don't review it. I just realized that. I was saying it. All of a sudden, I heard a voice say, stop. They can't read it yet. That's right. You can't read it until June, but you can buy it ahead of time. It does place the book on more of a forward marketing scale with Amazon for all the pre-orders. So that certainly helps. But it's all about what we talk about, and what I do here on this show is help you get out of your way and to explain why things happen the way they happen in your life. And today is no different on our show. Before we go into the show, I'm going to be continuing how love can heal you physically, can heal your ailments and your issues. I'll be using some stories from some of my clients to show how that works and how it gets in the way, the lack of love. But I do want to say, please remember to join me next week, March 9th. Oh, I can't believe we're March. That's right. We're in March. Unbelievable. This is like crazy time here, March 2nd. And I don't know where you are, if the daffodils are coming up, but we have our dogwoods blooming in North Carolina. We have dogwoods, and then it goes into Bradford pears. They tend to bloom second, but the dogwoods are all out, all beautiful white and pink flowered trees lining the highways and the roadways and developments and shopping centers, and they're pretty beautiful when they do come out. And then, of course, all the other flowers are coming up. But it went all the way down to 31 degrees last night, so we're still getting some cold weather here. So one of the announcements I want to make about next week is my special guest, Karen Johnson, an amazing woman who was once an army major, and also a retired federal judge. And her life completely changed when her son died. And now she's a master energy healer. So it's going to be a story on how she went from that kind of position, being involved with the military and politics. That's pretty intense. That's an intense life. I know that for sure. I've dealt with some clients who were in politics, Congress people, retired Congress people, retired judges, but a federal judge. That's got to be pretty intense. And to go from there to becoming an energy healer, and start all of these programs and write a book. It's called Living Grieving. living, grieving. How do you live with grief, especially for a mother to have lost a son? So please join me next week because she's going to be sharing her inspiring story. I can't wait because I'd like to hear more about her during the interview for sure. So I'll be listening as I'm hosting the show as well. So that's next week, of course, at noon, same time, same place. But today we're talking about love. We just left the love month. I like to call it the love month because of Valentine's Day and celebrating and reminding everybody about how important love is in our lives, that we're made of it. That's a state of being. We're meant to experience it in all ways, in friendships, in romantic relationships, and of course, in self-love first, above all. And so that doesn't end there as we transition into March. Love is to be continued. But we are entering what I now call the luck month. You know, every holiday, you know, labels the month to me. So because St. Patrick's Day is approaching quickly. Oh, yes, it is, Lauren Bagore. And when we celebrate St. Patty's Day, we think of things like shamrocks and leprechauns and rainbows with crock of gold at the end of the rainbows. And of course, St. Patrick. Nobody thinks of the rats on St. Patrick's Day, but that's exactly what St. Patrick supposedly did, is rid Ireland of the rats. And I'm not talking about the monster people. I'm talking about the actual rodent itself, a rat. He rid Ireland of that. But he did more than that, which is what earned him his saintly status and became canonized by the Roman Catholic Church. But on St. Patrick's Day, we always associate it with things like good fortune, because if you kiss a Blarney Stone, and believe me, people still go to Ireland to this day looking for the Blarney Stone and kissing it. Oh, that has got to be a cold one right there. I don't know if the Blarney Stone is a sedimentary rock or a crystal quartz, but supposedly kissing the Blarney Stone is to bring you good fortune and good luck, because of the way things had gone in Ireland. And I'm not so sure of that, only because the Protestant and Catholic battle over there had continued for such a long time, even after St. Patrick had gone. And he wasn't even from Ireland, by the way. We'll talk more about that, but he migrated to Ireland from England. Oh, ho, ho, those secrets those Irish like to keep. But you go to a bar on St. Patrick's Day and you drink green beer, which to me is a crazy notion to start with. I don't like drinking or eating food that is not in its natural color state. Who knows what they have to put in there to make it that color? But you eat green everything, green cakes and green cupcakes and icing and desserts. And Lauren Bagore on Facebook the other day, I even saw a green ricotta-filled cannoli. Now you've got the Italians. My Lord, dear, my grandmother turned over in her grave when she saw that picture of a cannoli with green ricotta on the inside. That is definitely a sacrilege for sure. But everything needs to turn green for St. Patrick's Day, because that's supposed to bring you good luck. We're going to talk more about that. And I've got some bubbles to burst. But today we're back to love. And about how love can heal. How love can heal. How can love heal physical ailments? We'll talk about that. I had a person call me this week course, I'm full confidence, no names. Won't even be able to describe it to the point of you knowing who the person is, male or female. But it was a them, shall we say. And this person was telling me about the horrible ailments that she had been going through. Of course, I was picking them up. I am not a doctor, but I am a medical intuitive. And first, I felt a tremendous amount of pain in this person. And I felt that the pain was caused by some trauma to the body, not from a disease or an illness, a trauma. And then I'm feeling more pain in other parts of the body. And I was pointing out the parts of the body, again, from trauma, not from illness. And then I was seeing digestive issues. And then I was seeing cancer. And so this person was ridden with all of these ailments. My goodness, I felt bad for this person for sure. And the person wasn't in his or her 80s. This person was only in late 50s. So that concerned me even more because this person had plenty of time to go, and what else was going to occur for the remainder of this person's life. And so I began to go into the person's past right away. I was guided there right away from her early childhood or his early childhood. And for the sake of making it easy on me, I'm going to refer to this person as a he, even though it could have been either one. So I felt before this person was born, while this person was in utero, he was in utero in mom's womb, I immediately felt chaos and disorder in the household between mom and dad. And of course, he validated it by saying that, well, dad had always been an alcoholic. And dad probably was, you know, off doing these horrible things. And yes, the stories were that mom and dad fought all the time over dad's drinking. And of course, the way dad acted then. So this is what he was picking up while he was still inside his mother, this negative energy, which has been shown scientifically to be absolutely valid. While you're in utero, you are absorbing the energy. Remember, we're energies. And in order for the body to form, it has to have energy to start with. Your soul may not enter directly, but the human form of you and the energy form of you right away is absorbing energy. Energy absorbs energy, whether it's positive or negative. And it doesn't. And walls and stomachs and uteruses cannot bar out or wall out that energy. Energy goes through the wall. So he's picking up all this negative energy, and I felt that right away. So as soon as he was born, there was also discourse because apparently dad did not want a baby to start with and did not want him when he was born. And so again, in infancy, he was still picking up the energy of not being wanted. Well, mom did not happen to have a good mental health either. Obviously, she attracted a male who turned out to be alcoholic or had issues to start with because of her own insecurities of self. And so the relationship was pretty volatile. Tenuous, and he, the soul, was picking this up. My caller was picking this up as a child. And then there was a pattern of criticism as he began to grow up, with great expectations in the household and where he was living and when he went to school. So this is what everything that I was picking up in him. And then throughout his life, he would experience different ailments and weaknesses of his body. And then at a certain age, of course, I was right in the trauma. It turned out that he had mid-30s, he had a terrible accident in falling. And it was actually through his own clumsiness that he fell and caused severe damage to the body and trauma that took a few years for him to really get through. But then several years after that, he was injured again by falling again. And so it reinflamed the original injuries from the first fall. And so he'd been experiencing all of this pain and disorder, and it went on and on from there, and all these other ailments. And what I found, and when I kept going in, I kept hearing his little voice, his little child voice, saying, "You're bad. You're a bad boy. You're a bad boy." Well, remember, we're egocentric when we're born, and we blame ourselves for everything. It's the only way that the brain that young can resolve a conflict. So within the mind, you come in with the soul coming from a loving place, the heavenly dimensions, and now you come into the earthly dimensions, and even though you don't specifically remember the heavenly dimensions, your soul still holds that within your mind, your soul's mind. And now it's within your body as well, and your human mind somewhere deep down in your psyche. But now all of a sudden you go through these negative experiences and something doesn't balance there. And there's a conflict between the good part of you and the part of you that's experiencing the negative of life. And again, the mind needs to protect you. So it needs to answer that conflict, the conflicting question of why. Why is this happening? And the only answer the human mind can come up with is, it must be me. Something's wrong with me. And that poses another question the human mind has to answer. Now, these are not questions that children, sometimes they do. Sometimes children are very aware of what's going on in their unconscious mind, and they bring it to the surface consciously, and you can see the way they act or some of the questions that they ask or the things that they say. If you pay attention to what children are saying, you'll basically know what they're thinking deep down in their unconscious recesses of their mind and their psyche. And so the conflict has to be resolved. Is it must be me? Why must it be me? And the only answer it can come up with is because I'm unlovable. So the soul has this loving feeling of coming in, then it's treated badly. So the opposite then is the resolution. I'm unlovable. Now, the soul is not knowing what the definition of the word love is, but it knows what it's not. That's what it's feeling. I'm not. I'm not something. I'm not good. And once you become older and you get the definition and the understanding of love, then your unconscious mind can now put a tag on what you're feeling. Oh, now I know what that feeling is. I'm unlovable. Now your little voice has something to call this bad feeling. I'm unlovable. And so as I'm unlovable, and I'm bad, apparently, because that's the message I'm receiving from the environment. That's what this sitter, this person who called me, he was feeling, is that deep down is that he was unlovable and he was bad. He was bad. And because he was bad, he must deserve being punished. So again, the pattern in which the way you are treated when you are younger and you're growing up, whichever way the environment is treating you, and in your environment, I'm talking about the adults, the teachers in school, your siblings, your relatives, and especially your parents, mommy and daddy. Whichever way that they are treating you, you pick up that pattern, and that's how you begin to treat yourself, which is why we do punish ourselves, which is what I felt immediately this gentleman was doing, was punishing himself throughout his life, punishing himself in pain. Now, are you thinking, well, wait, he tripped. He's clumsy. Well, everything happens for a reason. Right? We're not victims to the world. We're actually victims to ourselves, if anything. We manifest and we create our own circumstances. And I told you one time, I went through the four reasons why we become ill. And one of those reasons, because all four have to do with manifesting illness, it has nothing to do with we become ill because we caught a cold. Or because of biology. That's not why we become ill. You become ill because you manifested. You manifested a low immune system to be able to catch a cold. Edgar Cayce said that a cold is reflective of having felt anger or frustration, because in order to feel anger and frustration, your emotional senses get clogged. And it literally translates into your five senses getting clogged. And you get a sore throat, a runny nose, stuffed sinuses, blurred vision, hearing gets clogged because of all the mucus. So it's a funny thing. And you start coughing too as well, is that a cold actually represents times that you've been frustrated and your immune system became low and boom, you became susceptible. To now a bacteria that was going to make you feel physically exactly the way you were feeling emotionally. So now when it comes to the reason for all these accidents and injuries, as well as the other illnesses, as well as the digestive issues, it definitely had to do with he was punishing himself. Because all he knew his entire childhood is that something had to be wrong with him. Mommy and daddy didn't get along. Daddy was drinking. It had to do with him. And of course, he was the only child. So that made it even worse because everything was taken out on him. He was corrected all the time, punitive. We didn't get into all of the means that he was punished. But now he continued the pattern in his life by punishing himself. And every time he was doing something successful, there would be another punishing. So it's not surprising that we do that. It's not surprising at all. And so therefore, if we create our own illnesses by punishing ourselves unconsciously now, just remember that unconsciously we would do that. We could do that. Then we can consciously take control and correct it using the same force that helped to create it. Not just the law of attraction and the manifesting force, but the force of love. Because when you don't love yourself, you're vulnerable to all sorts of crises and traumas and hurts and pains in physical life, in this world, when you don't love yourself. So it's not just a matter of not being able to attract a love relationship, as we talked about this entire month. When you don't love yourself, you set yourself up for all sorts of things. Being dissatisfied at work or losing your job altogether. Having strained finances, if any at all. Of course, bad health, no
positive, really true, strong relationships in your life, and certainly not a worthwhile, unconditional, loving partner. So you become vulnerable to all of those things, all because of not having love. So if you can become vulnerable and you can create and manifest all these problems not having love, then what would happen when you do enter true love into your life, self-love? What would happen now? Do you think we can reverse all of that? Well, there's absolutely true scientific evidence today that shows that self-love and self-care can reverse biologically any illness that you have, any issue. So it's not just a matter of faith, because we'll talk about on the other side of the commercial break, we're going to talk about how faith and love go hand in hand, and why if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. But what empowers that faith? What makes the faith actually work? Faith is another belief system, state of mind, right? Belief, we talked about that. We talked about how belief is the number one power on the earth and love is the number two, but they go hand in hand together. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. And if you have a question regarding this, please call me at 816-251-3555. This is the Stop Stopping Yourself show. And I'll be back in just a few minutes. Listen to these wonderful commercials of all the people who are going to be on Unity Online Radio.
Positivity and inclusivity. You're listening to UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. Welcome back to Stop Stopping Yourself with Vincent Jenna.
Well, welcome back. And if you're just joining us now, shame on you. Go back and listen to the first part of this show. You got to be listening to the entire show to get the full benefit out of it. But that's okay. I understand that life happens. And I'm glad that you're here now with us. We've been talking about how love can heal, because we've started talking about how love can hurt. And I'm not talking about Adele's song either. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, talk about misunderstandings about love. We'll get into that momentarily. But what I was saying is the lack of love can cause all sorts of issues in your life, be it financial issues, relationship issues. That seems to be the typical one, right? But it also causes health issues and vocation issues. You know, not knowing your path, not knowing your dream, not knowing your passions or your purpose, not feeling you have any worth or value, that all comes from the lack of self-love, having rage and hating others and bigotry and racism and prejudice and whatever other things you choose to condemn in life, all has to do with the lack of self-love.
Absolutely.
I've written about it in my new book to come, The Secret That's Holding You Back. That'll be out in June. I'm very excited about that. Be sure to pre-order it now. Pre-order it now. It puts it out way ahead so that people will see it and get a part of it and share it around and get this message going, because we need to do some healing here. And the thing is that love is a great power. It's a great force. But before the commercial break, I was talking about faith and love, and that how they go hand in hand. Faith is another word for belief, right? Belief is what powers everything. So you could say that faith powers everything, but faith goes hand in hand with love,
Because when you have more love, you can have more faith. You will have more faith. When you have more self-love, you will have more faith. It happens automatically because you begin to see things transpire in your life. And even dissatisfactions that come up for you, you could start covering your self-love if you get caught up in the mundaneness of life and you start looking at the stresses out there. And the conditions, then you get caught up in it, it can start covering, especially if it's not strong enough, your self-love and circumstances. And so I was talking earlier about a client reading that I had, and we're calling this person a male just for the sake of it, making it easier on me to tell the story, and how he had throughout his life different accidents where he fallen, caused a lot of injury, then fell again, caused more injury. The digestive issue that he had, which is, this is for all of you out there. If you have any kind of digestive issue, from acid reflux to IBS not just Crohn's disease, but there's the perforated bowel disorder and disease. I forgot the technical name for it. All of those intestinal diseases, no matter what they are, colon cancer, anything to do with your digestive system is completely manifested by you. How does this happen? Well, what does the digestive system do for the human body? You take in food, it breaks it down, and it goes through the process of breaking it down, taking out the nutrients, sending the nutrients throughout the body to feed the different organs and parts of your body. And then the rest of the intestines and colon gets rid of the waste, that which is not beneficial. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything that you go through emotionally in life? Well, when you come and incarnate in a physical world, you're going to go through experiences. Your job is to break down those experiences and process them, go through them. Take and absorb the beneficial parts of the experience. What good did you get out of the experience? What benefit? What growth? What did you learn from the experience? And then get rid of the rest of the experience, whether it was a positive experience or a negative experience. You get rid of the waste. If you do not process correctly, emotionally, your experiences, if you do not get rid of the waste, the negative stuff that you've experienced, it will cause your life great disorder in the way of regurgitating problems and issues, getting clogged and constipated with negative thoughts, trying so hard to break down the experience to start with, right from the get-go, trying to get as much acid in there and positiveness in there to break it apart. You can't even do that. And you regurgitate the acid part, the hard trying. And you become exhausted and it's painful. So if you're doing that emotionally, it absolutely is going to have a physical effect on the physical part of you that does that. And you can continue. You can read Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, or go to Edgar Cayce material on all illnesses, and he breaks it down. And they tell you the emotional aspect of your physical problem, what you need to do to change that, and the spiritual part that you need to add. So here I am talking about the spiritual part that you need to add to your life in order to heal your disorders, because you would process things correctly if you loved yourself. Now, all the different, a lot of people experience thyroid issues. Well, that's your fifth spiritual center. Your fifth spiritual center is about your will, your willpower, not your will power to be able to stay on a diet or not drink a lot. That's not what I'm talking about. It's imposing your human will against your spiritual will. So the soul talks to us, or tries to talk to us, all the time through inspiration, through intuition. That's the soul speaking to you. Don't do that. Don't go with him. Don't take that job. Don't move there. Don't go down that street. Whatever, or do this. Yes, this is the best choice. Yes, you want to move. Yes, you want to play an instrument. Yes, that'll be fabulous. This is what you need to do. Oh, you need to be a writer. Oh, you need to paint. Oh, you need to build a computer. That's your soul speaking to you through your intuition, using intuition to speak to you. Then you have the human left brain thinking that now kicks in. No, I don't want to do that. That's silly. I'm not good. I'm not a musician. I'm not creative. But that would be dumb if I pick up a guitar and start playing a guitar. Painting, I was a terrible painter in school. Why would I want to paint now? Where did I get that idea from? I can't leave my work and go become a counselor. That would be dumb. I have such a great salary right now, even though I hate my job. And the left brain goes on and 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 talks us out of things. So you're imposing your human will against your spiritual will. That creates a conflict and a negative energy. And that negative energy is going to impact that area where the will center is, thus your throat. People develop throat cancer, throat diseases, thyroid issues tremendously all the time, and even then mouth issues, because the other part of being imposing your will is not always saying the things you should be saying and standing up and being assertive. And sometimes, and a lot of times, it's saying the wrong things, being judgmental and critical of yourself and others. And so it can create negative pocket of energy and sit there. And all of that stems, and your lack of willfully listening to your intuition is a lack of self-trust, which is a lack of self-belief. All comes down to self-belief and self-love. So if you don't love yourself, you're not going to trust yourself. You're not going to listen to your intuition. As my book explained, you're going to give in to the adult made mind defenses so that you don't pay attention to the environment made mind defenses and feelings of inadequacy and not being good enough or lovable enough. So you need to hide that, so you create all other excuses. And the body wreaks havoc because you are a power. We're not supposed to be here anymore anyway. By the way, any of you who are listening, I am going to be at the Cincinnati Expo, Body Mind Spirit Expo. It's actually not called Body Mind Spirit Expo. It's being produced and put on by Body Mind Spirit Expo Company. The 9th and 10th of April. And so on that 9th, I am going to do platform demonstrations for everybody. I'm going to bring in, hopefully, deceased loved ones that will give some messages also regarding the same thing about love and what you need to hear. So any of you who are in the area there, please make a note of that and come down and see me and say hello and tell me that you listen to this radio show. But I'll be talking a lot about love, too, and how it heals. Because as soon as you enter it, yes, I don't want you to stop any of the physical treatments that you're going through for any of your illnesses today. God-inspired doctors as well. So those treatments aren't always wrong. But just understand, if a treatment's not working, it's because you're not necessarily working. The internal part of you, the unconscious little kid in you, is sabotaging the treatment. Because it just doesn't believe, he or she doesn't believe that you are lovable or that you are good enough. Just understand that. And like another caller said to me, I have worked on my inner child for years. Oh, my God. I went to work on it with counselors even before it was popular. I've done years of work on it. I don't understand why that would still be my problem. Well, I believe it was Theodore Roosevelt who said, when you think you've done everything you could, you haven't. And the proof of it is your outcome of your life. Now, he was not quoting from a metaphysical standpoint. He was not quoting from the idea that there is the law of attraction out there and manifesting, and that if you really did work on it, you would see the results in your life. Nobody wants to keep hearing that. And I'm sorry, I don't want to take away the work that you have done, but for goodness sakes, there's got to be a controllable reason as to why you're not getting what you want in your life. A controllable reason. I know it's painful to keep hearing, wait a minute, I got to do more. Yes, you do. You chose to be here. And when you leave here, you're going to be doing more and different stuff on the other side too. What is life if it's not taking steps to evolve? Because as you evolve, I'm telling you, this is what happens, people. And you got to believe me with this. I have been working almost 4 decades, 40 years on this work. And most of it was to be healing little Vinny. And I've told you my stories, healing little Vinny and all the hurts and the pains that he's gone through. And yes, while I was doing the work, the day, the moment I was doing the work, oh my gosh, this is so deep. This is painful remembering it. And then after I saw the results, after my life began to change, and I look back today, I can't remember any hard work that I did. I can't remember it. It's not what's important anymore. And it goes away. The effort part, the emotional part by going there, it literally just goes away and disintegrates because the joys of your experiences overpower the pains of your struggle so much that you don't feel it anymore. Oh, every so often something will pop up and let me know, oh, I got to go back. I got to reinforce some of my beliefs. Get that self-love going again. Little Vinny, you're lovable. You're wonderful. Okay, go back down, pain in the back. Okay, go back down, pain in the leg. Oh, whatever. Okay, you're all right. You're okay. And I just remind myself, and yes, I'll probably be doing that until I die. But you know what? I don't want to stop. Because of what it is bringing me, I just cannot share it enough. I get messages, crazy things that happen, and I know you can share the same thing with self-love. So I met this guy at the gym one day, and you know when you work out, most guys, they don't talk and you don't look at each other. You do not make eye contact at a gym. You're not supposed to, because then all the guys think that you're gay or that you want something from them, right? Or that you're law and you're checking to see if they're using illegal steroids. You know, that's literally the defense mechanisms that go on in a gym. Every so often you get a confident person that will strike up a conversation with you. And one guy, you know, did that. He struck up a conversation with me. We were sharing the same piece of equipment, which happens a lot. And then he would do his reps. I would do mine. Of course, when I would do mine, I'd have to take off all the weights that he just put on to do his. Embarrassing, but it's okay. We all understand that. Probably he was figuring I'm as old enough to be his grandfather anyway. So he appreciated me being at the gym just for that. And he was talking to me. And he became really open, and, you know, we got into conversation after, and this is going on day, you know, weeks after being there together, we get more open. And he was asking me the type of work I did, and, you know, I don't necessarily tell everybody at the gym that I'm a psychic, only because that winds up striking up too many conversations about, oh, you see spirits around me. Oh, what do you see for my future? So I just say spiritual teacher and stuff like that. And we got into a conversation, and then he started talking about different things that, oh, he would like to, you know, introduce me to some people who could really promote me or help promote me and get me out there. And I'm always meeting people like that. But the first thing I do, oh, and the one thing I forgot to mention is when I make eye contact with people, that's how I, you know, find out if these people are genuine or not. And he seemed real genuine, but I do have to say that his eyes were very striking and they looked very angelic. As a matter of fact, I actually said to myself, gee, this guy, you know, seems really authentic and gentle here, and his eyes look so angelic. Literally, I said that. I said that in my mind, with my mind, talk and mouth, right? God, this guy's got angelic looking eyes. And you know, there's just some features about, you know, people that stand out more than, you know, other features. And definitely his eyes stood out. That, you know, blue. Oh, I know why. He was a black person with blue eyes. Black people with blue eyes, that definitely stands out. And you know what I mean with it, that image with the dark brown eyelashes surrounding the eyes. It gets very, they're very intense and very warm, right? And trustworthy. So afterwards, I was getting in my car and I use headphones, of course, like everybody else does, my iPods. I'm listening to the radio and some music. And I'll admit it, but don't make fun of me if you ever meet me in the gym. I love listening to certain music. It pumps me up. And yes, the group ABBA, I absolutely love. I love Mamma Mia and I love ABBA music, but I also love that entire time period of music. So I'm usually on my Pandora. I have stations and it's playing music, right? Okay. So I'm finishing up and I was just about leaving the gym and I had asked spiritually, so God, is this guy, you know, is he really meaningful over here? Is he trustworthy? That's all I asked. Is he trustworthy? And all of a sudden, even though my iPods were off, the music came back on. And I didn't have it on an ABBA station, but an ABBA song came up, and one that I had not heard for, I don't know, 40 years, maybe. Okay, around that time, it was like, it was not one of their most famous songs. And the name of the song is Angel Eyes. Angel Eyes. I'm like, okay. And so I'm listening to the song. And here I'm thinking that the message is going to be, you can trust the person with angel eyes. No. The song was, you can't trust that guy with angel eyes, because it was a song about how this guy with the angel eyes captures you because of his charisma and the beauty of his eyes. And just when you think, because it's about a woman singing about an old boyfriend and how he really was abusive and, you know, a womanizer, and that he captures all the women because of his angel eyes. And I was like, are you kidding me? Did you just send that song to me like that? I just finished saying in my head, oh, this guy has angel eyes. I wonder if I can trust him. And I asked you if I can trust what he has to say, or should I just move on and say thank you? And you play the song Angel Eyes for me to tell me not to trust him. And I went, holy cow. Things like that happen for me all the time now, all the time. And I cannot tell you the joy of being in my life at this age and not having to worry about things that other people worry about, because I know that this is all real and I have connections, and I constantly, even the way my book formed and the publisher that I got and the editor that I got to help me write, he pulled out this book from me, because when I originally wrote it, it wasn't the book it was supposed to be. And she brought out a better book in me, and the people that I've been working with, and the book cover even, and all of this, and just getting on television shows, show after show after show, and being invited locally to be a regular on their morning show. And their morning show, I get invited to be on the show, which was originally only a half an hour in the afternoon, now moved to the morning time, perfect timing, 9 a.m. Eastern time, for an hour. So it became a very popular show, and they asked me to be a regular on it. I'm going to be on monthly. And that all happened as I kept increasing my self-love. My body became stronger. My ailments became less. Because that is the power of love and faith and belief. Hand in hand, they go. And so, yes, the work, is there work? The major part of the work, believe me, is not in working on believing in yourself. but working on believing that you don't believe in yourself, working on believing that you don't believe you're lovable. That's what you have to work on, your defense mechanisms that shield and hide that. The defense mechanisms that want to make you think, I've done enough work. I'm a good person. I'm not as bad as everybody else. I've got these horrible people around me. Well, with attitudes like that, you can't possibly be loving yourself. Because if you loved yourself, you wouldn't notice that garbage. You wouldn't be judging and hating people. I literally had somebody turn around and tell me in one of my readings last week that they were spiritual teachers. They did my work. But she hated living where she lived because of certain people around her. And I was like, wow, you still have work to do on you, not about getting rid of your judgment of them. Getting rid of judgment of yourself, because you must have some judging going on in there. If you can hate that greatly, you can only do that when you despise yourself. Remember that. And that's what I'm saying. That's the work. Recognizing what you're really believing about yourself is the work, and acknowledging it and admitting it. I don't care what you think you think. I don't care if you think you had the perfect Brady Bunch family, and they didn't even have a perfect family because both of them lost their spouses and then had to come together. There's not even a family. If we go, I have to go back older than that, Leave It to Beaver. I don't even know if any of you even know that show anymore. Maybe a couple of you that are listening. But there's so few television shows that came from a perfect family, a wonderful, loving family. There is no wonderful, loving family today because there's been too many pains and hurts and stresses that got passed down from generation to generation. So don't tell me that, oh, your family treated you great and everything was hunky-dory, but you're already on your third marriage or third relationship, or you're sick as a dog through most of your life. Or you've had all these disorders or financial issues and problems, or you can never find the right job. Do not tell me you had this wonderful childhood that made you believe in yourself, because you didn't. Something went wrong. Something had to, and it's not you. You're not defective. Oh, even in the physical disorders, you might think that you're defective. Oh, no, I came in with this ailment, that ailment, and this ailment. No, you still came in with your soul, and you're still wonderful, perfect, and divine. You chose those ailments for a reason, karmically or trying to help your parents in some way. But you just got to remember that love is about everything. It is. And that's how you get to heal, because the more you do the self-love work, the more your body strengthens, because it will reflect exactly what you're feeling on the inside. Don't forget about that, okay? So we're going to be talking about, over the next couple of weeks, good fortune and luck. And we're going to talk where that comes from. But make sure you join me next week when my special guest, Karen V. Johnson, is going to join us, an ex-federal judge turned master energy healer, and wrote the book Living Grieving after her son died. So listen to this transformation and inspirational woman, please. Because whatever we do, you can do. And I'll see you next week on the Stop Stopping Yourself show. Enjoy the rest of the host for the day. Dr. Dream is next. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you looking for help on your path to healing? I'm Lisa Campion. I'm a psychic, Reiki master, teacher, and energy healer. On my podcast, The Miracle of Healing, I'm going to help you on your healing path. Listen to conversations with leading teachers in energy medicine, quantum healing, and people who have recovered from loss and illness. Whether it's to take care of your own healing or to help other people, this is the podcast for you, right here on mindbodyspirit.fm.